Hello, Vineyard family. Good morning and welcome to our living room. This is week two of our isolation, and I just want to let you know that we were missed very much. We love you. We're looking forward to being able to spend time together. And this morning, Barry is going to be sharing the message. I'm going to encourage all of you to have your Bibles with you, to get your favorite morning beverage, whether it's tea or coffee, and sit down and just, I believe that God has a message that he's given Barry, and he's going to share it with all of us. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to grab my cup of tea, and I'm going to go sit on the couch where you can't see me, and I'm going to enjoy his message as well. So let's pray. Lord, I lift up to you right now, all of us. I pray that you would speak to me and open my hearts and open my mind to hear your voice. And I pray that for everybody who's listening. And I pray for Barry that he would have just hear your voice and follow it. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit, your prophetic voice, will be just as active through this recording as it is when we meet in person. So Lord, bless all of us here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
So I'm going to go get my tea and I'm going to go have a seat.
Okay, honey. Okay. Well, good morning to everyone. And Nancy and I, we have just two more days of self-isolation and then we get to actually stay home like all of you. And like Nancy said, this is our second attempt at a video, and I hope that we'll be able to improve it as we go along. I do have an editor. I'm going to try and use that. So you let me know how you liked it and whether we're getting any better. Now, first, Nancy and I want to say again that we really, truly do love you all. And a little bit like Paul in the New Testament letters, we so long to meet with all of you again, but are unfortunately unable to do that. But it has been apparent to me in this relatively short time how much we take for granted the little but actually vital things of life, like the things like gathering together for community and fellowship. You know, for years in churches, pastors have struggled to really get the congregation to understand the importance of gathering together in community groups or even on a Sunday morning together. And so often people will kind of brush that off and say, you know, I want to watch the hockey game, I'm too tired, or whatever the reason is. But I think this crisis, one of the things that it is doing, because we're unable to actually meet together physically, that maybe, just maybe, we'll begin to appreciate the right we have in this country and the God-given command to meet together, to actually be together physically, and how important that really is to us. So we're trying to recreate that a bit with this online thing, but I do really encourage all of us that I think the Lord is trying to tell us, you know, don't take for granted the ability that you have to be together and to fellowship and how important that really is. Okay? So we do love you and we long, Nancy and I, to be able to gather with you. At this time, I do want to remind all of you about the upcoming ministerial Good Friday service. It will be happening online as well. It's going to be live streamed from Northgate Foursquare Church, and we will send you a link to participate in it. It's going to happen April 10th on Good Friday at 10:30, and so we'll send you a link. There's going to be representatives from every church there, but very limited. And it will actually be properly social distanced and all of those kinds of things. One of the things we're asking you to do is to bring the elements, the bread and the grape juice, and have it with you, have it available so that when we do take communion, we can all take communion together. Okay? Okay. So now, this morning's message, we're going to look at two stories currently in the book of Matthew that I think are pertinent very pertinent to our current situation. You know, obviously, fear continues to be a huge part of people's reaction to this current pandemic. And that's demonstrated by the amount of hoarding that has actually happened. You know, things like people buying up all the toilet paper, people buying up all the face masks, the thermometers, hand sanitizers, on. And it becomes impossible for any of us to get those things anymore. And that's really a sign that people are driven by fear. One of the things I worry about is if the situation changes and more cases happen here at home in Canada, more and more deaths start happening, if our healthcare system gets overwhelmed, then fear levels are going to continue to rise. Now, by saying that, you might think that, Barry, you're now spreading more fear, which I certainly don't want to do. But it's also important to realize that the whole world right now is in the midst of a storm that we have never really experienced like this before. The effects of COVID-19 are just starting to be felt in the big cities in the United States, and experts say that in Canada, we're going to start to see what's going to happen over the next 2 to 4 weeks. Therefore, it is now critical that we continue to self-isolate, to listen to our healthcare authorities and what they're saying, to stay home, to continue to practice proper physical distancing so that we can stop any further spread of this virus. And in some ways, that will determine how bad it's going to get. To deny the existence of the storm is foolish. But the thing I really want to talk about is to allow fear to overwhelm us in the storm is also foolish. The Bible actually tells us how to go through storms with faith instead of fear. The title of this message is Moving from Fear to Faith. The first story we find in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. So hopefully you're turned to that already and you can read along with me. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now here's what I want you to see. Jesus and his disciples, they get into a boat and they're crossing over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is sleeping. And in Mark's account of this same story, it says he's sleeping on a pillow. So I want you to get the picture of this. And suddenly, it says, suddenly a furious storm whips up. This is not just a small little squall, but this is a real sink the boat, we're all going to drown kind of storm, and it hits them. What is amazing is that Jesus continues to sleep in the midst of the storm, and I'm not sure how he did that, but he is doing that. And again, Mark's account, it says that when Jesus was sleeping, it was interpreted by the disciples to mean that he didn't care, that he was neglecting them. He had no concern over them. They actually ask this. They say to him, "Do you not care if we drown, Lord?" Have you ever felt like that yourself? If there's been a huge storm in your life, have you ever been looking and calling out to Jesus, but it seemed like he was asleep? Maybe some of you feel like that in the midst of this crisis. We're praying for God to intervene, and yet it seems to be going on. And so maybe you're feeling like that right now. Where is Jesus when we call for help? And sometimes it can seem like he's sleeping. But here's the important thing. You know, I do not believe for a moment that Jesus was neglectful in the boat with his disciples. And I do not believe for a moment that Jesus is neglectful when we are in our storms, either individually or corporately, or even today. Jesus is not neglectful in the midst of this current storm. You see, I believe that Jesus' reply to his disciples tells us what God wants us to learn. We need to move from fear to faith. You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Or in Mark's account, Jesus says it this way, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Jesus is able to stay at rest in the midst of the storm. Why? Because he knows the God who not only makes the storm, or makes the wind and the waves anyway, but he is the one who can calm the storm. Not only that, Jesus is in fact that very God. Psalm 107 actually is an amazing psalm that speaks right into this story. I'll show you what I mean when we read it together. Psalm 107, verses 24 to 30. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Now, folks, no doubt, after the disciples thought about this incident in the boat with Jesus, this psalm would have come to their mind. Who is it that calms the storm with just his word? God is the creator of the wind and the waves, you see. Now that's actually the question they asked. They looked at Jesus after he'd calmed the storm and they said, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, Psalm 107 answers that question. God, the creator of the wind and the waves, is also the one who makes them obey his very commands. The disciples had forgotten who was in the boat with them. And this is what we need to remember today. Jesus is with us. He is in our boat in this storm, even if it seems like he's sleeping. But we need to remember his words to us. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Okay, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. The promise is that as God's children, Jesus is with us. He walks with us. He is in our boat in the midst of this storm, and that is good news. I also think that Jesus wanted them to understand their own authority in this story. If their faith was a little bit greater and their fear was a little bit smaller, then maybe they would have been able to see beyond the storm and to ask the God of the wind and the waves to actually quiet them. One thing that I've actually not heard enough of, in my opinion, from the different sermons I've listened to online about this pandemic, is the idea of picking up our authority, of taking our authority as the church, and to command this virus to cease and desist, to be gone. You know, I've heard lots of sermons about what God might be doing in this pandemic, and certainly he is trying to get our attention. I think that's a valid point, and I have heard lots of sermons about how we need to not be afraid, and that's what I'm preaching right now myself to you. And again, that's true. I've also heard how maybe at this moment in time, God is using this time to really make people who don't know him yet to be more open to receive the truth of the amazing gospel of grace that we find in and through Jesus Christ. And so maybe at this time, one of the things is God is making the harvest more plentiful, and we can go and actually lead people to Christ in this time. He wants people to come to him. And so that, I think, is also true. But in this story, church, there is a point we need to realize. We need to be reminded that with just a word, Jesus stopped the storm. In our prayer meetings, we should be praying that this virus dies, that it ends, and that God's mercy and his love would prevail. Amen. When we cry out to the Lord in our distress, this is what the psalmist is saying, with faith, God hears from heaven and God acts on our behalf. So let us not forget that, and let us all keep praying for this reality that God, you know, he has allowed this pandemic to happen. I understand that. But we need to remember that sickness is not God's idea. This is part of Satan's false kingdom, and it's part of the fall. This virus is the work of the enemy, the devil. And we need to remember that everywhere Jesus went, he healed the sick. And he actually cast out demons, and he brought order to the chaos that was all around them. Healing, church, not sickness, is evidence of the presence of God's inbreaking kingdom. And we need to remember that. We need to be the agents that actually are going to bring order to the chaos around us. And we need to be praying that God would begin to do that. What kills faith, church, however, is when we constantly look at the storm instead of who is in the boat with us. Amen? And that's something we need to all remember, because right now it's easy to get like 24/7 hourly updates on this coronavirus and what is happening. And yes, it's important that we stay informed, that we understand what changes are happening, and maybe if there's new information that we need in order to obey what the people, the authorities want us to obey. We need to remember something, though, that 24/7 on the web or on the internet, getting constant updates and reminders about this coronavirus is actually not healthy. It's not healthy. It is not faith building. Instead, it's fear building. It brings fear. And we need to recognize that if you're spending, you know, all day watching the news, that's going to fill you with fear. But if instead, church, we spend time with God, all of us have extra time now, or many of us do, where we're here in our homes. And are we taking the time to pray, to be with God, to invite his presence to come, to fill us with faith, not fear? You see, are we in his word? Are we reading his word enough that the truth of God's word begins to fill us, and we remember that God's rule and reign is certain, that his kingdom is unstoppable, and his will be done on the earth. And that begins to fill us with faith, and it begins to push down the fear that we can end up growing within us. That's how we stop looking at the storm and we start looking at Jesus, who's in the boat. Which brings me to the second story, and it happens just after Jesus feeds the 5,000. Now, immediately, it says, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water or the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked in the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Wow. There's so much we can glean from this story. Again, the disciples are in the boat headed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as I said, Jesus got them to go immediately after feeding the 5,000. Then he dismisses the people. He tells them to go away. And then he goes on his own to pray, it says, until evening. So that means that he had told his disciples to leave long before evening had come. Now, according to the experts, it takes about 2 hours, maybe three, to sail across the Sea of Galilee. But it says that Jesus went out to them in the fourth watch of the night, which means between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., so at the very, very end of the night. And that means that they were rowing or trying to get there from early evening, actually before the evening, but let's say 6 p.m. till about at least 3 a.m. And that is 7 hours, or at least 7 hours longer than it should have taken them to get across the lake. Why? Because it says that the waves buffeted them and the wind was against them. A storm had come up. Maybe it was another storm in which it was demonic and it's trying to stop them from getting across the lake. You know, one of the things we need to realize about even the first storm was that most theologians believe that that storm that Jesus calmed was actually a demonic storm trying to shut down the disciples from being able to get across to the lake and for God's kingdom to advance. So here we see it again. A storm comes up against them and they're making no progress getting across the lake. But Jesus goes out to them and he walks out there at about 3 or 4 a.m. and he just walks across the water. But this again made them all afraid. They're afraid of the storm, possibly but they see Jesus and they're afraid of the sight of Jesus. And I'm going to say this, you know, I think they're looking at him and they may even recognize him. They may know that it looks like Jesus, but they just can't believe it. Why? Because he's walking on top of the water. You know, in one minute they're saying, who is this man who commands the winds and the waves and they obey him? But now he's defying nature itself and all of the laws of nature, and he's just walking on the top of the waves. Who is this? And I think they're still struggling with understanding who exactly is in the boat with them, or at this point, obviously, he's out on the water. And then what happens is Jesus calls out to them and he reassures them. And he says, it is me, don't be afraid. And he speaks those words again, do not be afraid. And Peter then does this amazing thing, doesn't he? He asks, if it really is you, Lord, and I think he's kind of not sure, he's doubting, but he says, if it is you, you asked me to come out on the water with you. And so Jesus invites him to come. And I think what we're seeing here again is a little bit of that same thing of Jesus wanting to mentor his disciples to walk in the authority that God's given them. You know, these very same things that you see me do, you will do. Even greater things than these will you do in my name, Jesus says to his disciples, but also to us, to you and I. And Peter believes him for that moment. He gets out on the water and he actually begins to walk on the water. And it says that he is, as he's walking towards Jesus, in other words, as he keeps his eyes on Jesus, he's able to keep walking on the water. But then he looks at the wind and the waves and he begins to sink. Okay? And he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches down and he picks him up. He saves him. But then he says again the same rebuke that he gave his disciples in the boat the first time. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? Now here's what I want you to all to understand. Jesus and Peter walked above the waves and above the storm. When Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to do the impossible. He was able to rise above the storm and to do the miraculous. And that is where we want to walk today. We need to move from fear to faith, from worry and anxiety to a place of peace where we can see the possibilities that God has for us. What is God up to today? What does he want us to do? What could we do to bring God's kingdom, his power and his presence and his love to bear on this current situation? You know, we need to be wise, yes, and we need to follow the directions of the health authorities, yes, absolutely. But we also, church, need to remember who we are and who it is that's in the boat with us. Amen. We need to move from fear to faith, and we need to start praying, church, with faith for God to quiet the storm and for God to actually kill this virus and to bring his kingdom fully in this time. So why don't we stop and do that right now? Let's stop and pray together. Father in heaven, I pray right now, and I want us to pick up our authority together. Lord Jesus, we know that you have power and you can command this virus to cease and desist. And so we say in the name of Jesus, we command the spread of this virus to cease and desist. And we pray, Lord, that you would end this pandemic. We pray right now for everyone who's sick in the hospital and for those who are really sick in the hospital. We pray in the name of Jesus, you would begin to heal people, Lord. We pray that people would not be dying from this virus. And we pray, Lord, that you, in fact, would heal the sick, you would stop this pandemic, and that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on the earth, even as it is in heaven. We pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And God bless you. We're going to talk with you again this coming week. And Yeah, God love you. God loves you so much, and so do Nancy and I.